Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You're listening to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. Very excited to get you ready for Super Bowl 57 in Glendale, Arizona, between the Kansas City Chiefs and the Philadelphia Eagles. How we're going to start today's show is going over what I think the four biggest storylines are entering this year's Super Bowl. To highlight that today, we will be joined by three separate African-American quarterbacks. As I'm sure you heard by now, this is the first Super Bowl that has two black quarterbacks. Coming up in about 30 minutes, we'll be joined by Doug Williams. He was the first black quarterback to play in a Super Bowl. He was the first black quarterback to win a Super Bowl. He'll be on the show here coming up in about 30 minutes. Cordell Stewart will be on the show in the 3 o'clock hour. And Warren Moon, who is in the Pro Football and College Football Hall of Fame, will be on the show coming up at 4:30. Very excited to be joined by Doug Williams, Cordell Stewart, and Warren Moon to kick off our Super Bowl 57 coverage. These are the four storylines that I think are going to dominate the headlines as we get deeper and deeper into Super Bowl week. Number one is simply the health of both of these teams, especially at the quarterback position. Jalen Hurts is dealing with the shoulder injury, hasn't really been tested a whole lot this postseason. Jalen Hurts has thrown 29 passes in the two playoff games that the Eagles have played, and neither one of those games have been close or in doubt. They dominated the New York Giants. They dominated the San Francisco 49ers. That shoulder has not really been tested at all. He missed two of the final three games of the season with that shoulder injury. Where's the health of that shoulder if he has to throw it 30, 35 times? Is he going to be physically able to do so if this game is very physical? Is he going to be able to meet the physical demands of the game? We know about Patrick Mahomes and his ankle injury. He clearly looked affected by it in the AFC Championship game, but not nearly enough as the Chiefs beat the Cincinnati Bengals. Those two storylines are going to be near the top this week as we continue to get updates on Jalen Hurts and Patrick Mahomes. For the Kansas City Chiefs, we know about their injuries. We'll see what's up with L'Jarius Sneed, Willie Gay Jr., and the wide receivers. We'll talk about Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Has he has been activated? Mecole Hardman now goes to the shelf. So we know now for sure that there's no Mecole Hardman for Sunday's game. We'll see with Kadarius Toney. We'll also see with Juju Smith-Schuster. I would put it right now as both of those guys are going to play on Sunday for the Chiefs. That is just my hunch. This is not me with any inside information at this point, but I believe Juju's going to play in this game. I believe Kadarius Toney will play in this game. We'll see what happens with L'Jarius Sneed and if he passes the concussion protocol. But those players are going to be near the top of storylines for this game as well. But some big picture storylines that are going to come up over the course of the week regarding both of these teams. Andy Reid going up against his former team in the Philadelphia Eagles in the Reid Bowl. Andy Reid was the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles for 14 years. He was there. For 14 years, he was the head coach of the Eagles, and boy, did they have some great success. We're talking about two of the best organizations in the National Football League. Philadelphia, three of their last four coaches have gone to the Super Bowl, and we know the success that Andy Reid has had in Kansas City. I was looking at Andy Reid's coaching record earlier today, and the thing that jumped out to me the most is Andy Reid has been a head coach in the NFL now for 24 years, 14 in Philadelphia, and this is his 10th year in Kansas City. He has had three losing seasons over the course of his career. Three. Think about that. The NFL is designed for up and down. It's based in parity. It's based in the philosophy that you can be a team like the Los Angeles Rams that go to the Super Bowl last year and miss the playoffs this year. It's the up and down. It's why we love the league so much. If Andy Reid is the head coach of your team, you are guaranteed to win at least 9 games every single season. He's only had 1 year in which his team has went 500. So we're talking about a coach who has been one of the biggest winners we have seen in the history of the National Football League. He's going up against his former team, his former city. And I think what happened at the end at Philadelphia, like happens at a lot of places, you had been there for 14 years and your time was just over. In 2012, he had his worst season as a head coach. They go 4-12. It was just time for both sides to move in a completely different direction. Clark Hunt took advantage. If you remember, he was supposed to go interview for the Arizona Cardinals. Clark Hunt and the Chiefs jumped the line. They didn't let Andy Reid go when it was the best decision that he has made as the owner of the Kansas City Chiefs, securing Andy Reid. And we have seen 10 years of absolute dominance from the Kansas City Chiefs and Andy Reid. That's a storyline that's at the top as we enter Super Bowl week. A lot of you have siblings. Can you imagine if your sibling was a potential Hall of Famer and you also yourself are a Hall of Famer? Like, I don't think we are really talking about how crazy it is that Travis Kelce, who is arguably the greatest tight end of all time, and his brother, Jason Kelce, who has a very strong chance of going to the Pro Football Hall of Fame in his own right, are playing against each other in this game. There's been some wild storylines that pop up over Super Bowl weekend over the course of our lifetimes. This is up there. You have two brothers who have reached the absolute pinnacle of what they do and are doing this at a very, very high level. In fact, the highest level that you can do it at. At this point with Travis Kelce, he is clearly past Rob Gronkowski, and it is a conversation between him and Tony Gonzalez for the greatest tight end of all time. If Kelce hasn't already passed Tony Gonzalez in that conversation, if you're Jason Kelce, another Super Bowl here and gives you two of them, you got a really strong case for Canton, Ohio. You know how crazy that is that in one family, these two brothers are not only playing in the Super Bowl, as both of them have already played, both of them already have a ring, they're now playing each other on Sunday for a chance to be world champion in the National Football League. I expect to hear some really fun stories here over the course of the next few days. We got Media Day coming up later today. That's a storyline that I think is going to be a lot of fun here over the course of the next few days. If you saw on their New Heights podcast, they had their mom and their dad on there. So a lot of fun in the Kelce family right now as we get ready for the Travis Kelce Bowl. It's not just the Andy Reid Bowl. It's also the Kelce Bowl as well. And coming up here in about 20 minutes, we'll be joined by Doug Williams, the first black quarterback to play in and win the Super Bowl. This is a major storyline that we've got to this point. We don't got to go through all the history of black quarterbacks in the National Football League, and I'm sure our guest will inform us of that coming up in a bit. But what excites me most about this matchup is we have two very different styles of black quarterbacks. That there was a time that the black quarterback was viewed as just the runner, just the athletic type, not a guy that you could trust with his arm, not a guy that you could trust to process information very quickly, didn't have a quote-unquote high football IQ. I think both of these guys completely dispel that myth, especially the Chiefs quarterback. So I'm really excited to hear more from these guys here coming up over the course of the day between Doug Williams, Cordell Stewart, and Warren Moon about this being the first quarterback, or excuse me, this first Super Bowl with two black quarterbacks. So those are four storylines that I'm excited about as we enter Super Bowl week here. We'll talk a lot of game. We'll have a lot of interviews. We'll get a lot of opinions as we head into Super Bowl 57. What's the health of these two teams? Patrick Mahomes, Jalen Hurts, the Chiefs are dealing with their own injuries when it comes to wide receiver, a couple of key defensive players, Willie Gay Jr. and L'Jarius Sneed. Andy Reid going up against the Philadelphia Eagles, the Kelce brothers going up against each other in a Super Bowl, and the first Super Bowl with two African-American quarterbacks. Coming up on the other side, the Chiefs have activated Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and they have sat Mecole Hardman down for the Super Bowl. What does that mean? We'll discuss it next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, brought to you by the DePasquale Mora Law Firm. Remember, Mike's got this on your official broadcast partner of the Chiefs and the home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Weather brought to you by the Specialized Recruiting Group. The Specialized Recruiting Group takes an individual approach placing people in contract and full-time roles. SRGExpress.com, now placing in accounting roles.
This is former Chiefs All-Pro tackle Mitchell Schwartz, and the best Chiefs content in town is right here with Carrington Harrison on The Drive.
Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll be joined by Doug Williams. He is the first black quarterback to play in and win a Super Bowl. This is the first Super Bowl that has two African-American quarterbacks. We asked Patrick Mahomes about it last week. Here's what he said.
I am proud, man. We've came a long way, and as I've gotten in the NFL and obviously learned more and more about the history of the black quarterback, I'm happy that we're going to be on this stage, and it couldn't be against a better guy, man, and Jalen Hurts and someone who's done it the right way. I've met a couple of times, just a great dude and works his tail off, man. And I think you can see that with how his teammates believe in him. And how they've gotten better and better each and every year. And I'm glad that we're going to be able to represent the black quarterback in the biggest game of them all. So it's going to be a great experience, man, and I just hope it's a great football game.
Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll be joined by Doug Williams. Doug Williams will be on the show. We'll get his thoughts on the Super Bowl matchup between the Chiefs and the Eagles. We appreciate you listening here on 610 Sports Radio. So today, the Chiefs have activated Clyde Edwards-Helaire. They have also put Mecole Hardman on the injured reserve. I've already seen a couple of texts coming in. Hey, Carrington, what do you think this means? I don't think it means anything. I think the Chiefs are pretty set when it comes to their run game and how they're going to operate the run game. They haven't used Clyde Edwards-Helaire since November 20th was the last time that he got carries and action for the Kansas City Chiefs. I don't think you go from having a pretty clear 1-2 punch with Isaiah Pacheco and Jerick McKinnon to now in the biggest game of the season trying to reintegrate Clyde Edwards-Helaire back into your offense. I understand why they tried to do it with Mecole Hardman. He has a pretty unique skill set. You give him the ball once or twice, you see what he can do from a speed perspective, and that didn't work. But you've got a couple of different options if you don't have Mecole Hardman. You're set at running back. Maybe Clyde Edwards-Helaire will be active for Sunday's game, but I don't think he'll see a lot of time. I don't think he's going to be part of the offensive game plan in any way. Maybe he gets used like Ronald Jones. Maybe. I mean, in the playoff game, Ronald Jones got one carry against the Bengals. Didn't get a carry in the game against Jacksonville. He did play in the game against the Raiders. That was a very unique situation. End of the year, they were clearly blowing the Raiders out. The season was over at that point. But I don't think there's anything to worry about, Rob, when we're talking about Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I understand from a roster management standpoint why you activated him. I get why people are asking the question about CEH and is he going to be a part of the Super Bowl. But I think we're past that point with Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I think he has played his last meaningful game with the Chiefs. Maybe he gets one carry, two at the absolute most. And next season, I still expect Clyde Edwards-Helaire to be traded to another team. And both sides at this point can move on and start fresh. The Chiefs have clearly moved on with Isaiah Pacheco and Jerick McKinnon and found consistency in the run game for the first time in a while. If you're Clyde Edwards-Helaire, this just isn't the place that you're going to get targets. You're not going to get touches. You're not going to be used enough to get that second contract you're looking for in the National Football League. I think the relationship between Clyde Edwards-Helaire and the Chiefs is over at this point. It's just a formality of the season has to end.
So you don't think there's any chance he's back in Kansas City next year? You think it's done because I don't want to say the relationship's toxic, but you think both people are ready to go their separate ways? Because the Chiefs have always shown a willingness, a love, a passion for Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Even when things weren't sensational, they still were trying to fit square pegs into round holes with Clyde Edwards-Helaire. He was always a guy they trusted in and used at a higher level than most fans would have wanted. So I'm not saying you're saying there's no chance, but you're saying it's way greater chance than not that he moves on.
Well, this offseason, as you know, they have to pick up his fifth-year option. I imagine they're not going to pick up his fifth-year option. And if you're Clyde Edwards-Helaire and you're going into a contract year, why would I want to go into a contract year on a team where I could potentially be their number three running back option heading into the season? Like, if you're the Chiefs, why in any scenario would I take away opportunities from Isaiah Pacheco? Pacheco has proven himself to be a better running back than Clyde Edwards-Helaire. This season, 170 carries, 830 yards, averaged 5 yards a carry, 5 touchdowns, gave you a little bit in the pass-catching game, had 130 yards. He had 960 yards from scrimmage this year as Isaiah Pacheco and 5 touchdowns. If anything, I'm looking to expand what his role is. I'm not looking to decrease it next season. You figured out a good balance with Jerick McKinnon and how the offense is going to look with those two guys. Why mess that up? It's over with Clyde Edwards-Helaire. You gave it a good, honest college try. It's over again. I wouldn't be surprised if he's activated for Sunday's game. I wouldn't be surprised if he gets used a little bit. I wouldn't be surprised if he has a limited usage in the game. But moving forward, you've made a determination on who the best running back is for your team, and that's Isaiah Pacheco. And if you're Clyde Edwards-Helaire going into a contract year, I don't think the Chiefs are the best place for you to showcase your ability to get that payday down the line.
I would agree. I will say, though, as you're talking earlier about how he'll just be activated and he'll get the Ronald Jones treatment, and he might get a carry here or there, or be gadgeted in the backfield or so on. It is worth noting, maybe the best game of Clyde Edwards-Helaire's career came against the Eagles last year. And I know you said last week you're putting no stock in that game. It's so different. It's so long ago, et cetera, et cetera. And I get that. But Clyde Edwards-Helaire last year against the Eagles, again, different Eagles team, 14 carries for 102. You don't think a now fresh Clyde Edwards-Helaire with a history and backdrop of cooking these Eagles, or at least the scheme of these Eagles, has any chance to be a productive player on Sunday?
I mean, not the fact that he hasn't played since November 20th, man. We're talking about a guy who just started practicing with the team. We're talking about, at this point, it has been almost 3 months since Clyde Edwards-Helaire played a football game. You just don't pop up. We ain't talking about T.O. here. You don't just pop up with 3 months off and now be used in the Super Bowl, not when your usage was clearly going down anyway. I mean, the last game that he played, he had two carries. He didn't get a carry in the Jacksonville game. And you remember, they were talking about, hey, just flow of the game. It didn't really fit for him. He had four carries. I mean, in the month of November, he had six carries in three games. No, there's not a chance in which Clyde Edwards-Helaire gets some great usage in the Super Bowl. He is a break in case of emergency. He is a Marcus Kemp in case an injury happens to running back. Someone says, hey, CDOT, do you think that he could be used as a gadget receiver for the Super Bowl maybe? You've already got that guy in Jerick McKinnon, though. You've already got that player. I mean, if you're talking about throwing screen passes to a running back, I'd much rather give him to Isaiah Pacheco, who showed good hands in the Bengals game. I'd much rather give him to Jerick McKinnon, who was dominant in the pass catching game the final 6-7 weeks of the season. I mean, we haven't really talked a whole lot about it, and we will over the course of the week. I mean, I'd like to see Jerick McKinnon be more involved in this game. If we're talking about the wide receiver injuries that the Chiefs do have and trying to find a little bit of a spark potentially in the passing game, that person would be Jerick McKinnon. I mean, Jerick McKinnon had 17 yards receiving and two catches in the two postseason games. So, no, I'm not figuring out ways to get Clyde Edwards-Helaire the ball more in this. I'm trying to figure out ways how to keep the balance with Isaiah Pacheco and take advantage of a potentially questionable run defense from the Philadelphia Eagles. And I'm figuring out how to get the Jerick McKinnon back that we had the final 5-6 weeks of the season. I'm not trying to figure out how to get Clyde Edwards-Helaire any more touches in the game than what he already has. Coming up in just a bit, we'll be joined by Doug Williams, who is the first African-American quarterback to start and win a Super Bowl. Doug Williams will be on the show here coming up in just a little bit. But before we do that, let's get to something good and something bad.
With a lot of football comes a lot of good stuff.
Yeah, I mean, they're good everywhere.
It's time for The Drive to give you something good from the weekend. Brought to you by the Kansas Lottery.
Well, last night with no football, I got an opportunity to watch the Grammys. Now, I didn't watch the whole thing. You know how you do. You start a little bit late so you can skip past the commercials. Well, that's what I did yesterday for the Grammys. And if you haven't seen it, the 50-year of hip-hop celebration was a lot of fun, Rob. It was great. I mean, this was a who's who of hip-hop history yesterday at the Grammys. They had Queen Latifah. They had Method Man, Big Boy, Busta Rhymes, Missy Elliott. Too Short came out there. A little bit of Nelly. It was an incredible musical performance last night on the Grammys. I enjoyed it. I've already watched it again this morning. I watched the 50 years of hip-hop yesterday at the Grammys. I'm giving my good weekend to whoever's idea it was to put that together. 50 years of hip-hop on the Grammys. That gets my good weekend.
I don't understand how they picked 50 years. Was there a marker that they had dropped? It feels like 50 years was arbitrary. We talked about this. 50 years just seems like it's 50 this year. I mean, was there a number, a reasoning for it?
Yeah, hip-hop was created August 12th, 1973. That's when it was created, back in New York. So we know the date that it was started, and this is the 50th year of hip-hop. Rob, don't be disrespectful. Last week you was disrespectful. I'm not going to bring it up. We move forward. I've already reported you to HR, and you've already got it talking to. We're not starting the week this way. We got a long week. We're not starting the week this way.
I'm going to give my good weekend to the Brooklyn Nets. The Nets are now the third team to enter the wash our hands of the Kyrie problem a palooza. You'll notice he had a game-winning shot in Cleveland. He was toast of the town. He and LeBron were going to be besties forever. And what happened? He ran himself out. And then he was talking big game. I'm not going anywhere. I love Boston. Guess what? Out of Boston. And when he showed up from Brooklyn, he said, the old Kyrie's behind me. No more sage. No more weirdness. This is going to be a great time. And guess what happened? He's out of there. Kyrie, everywhere he goes, he's a tremendous talent, the best dribbler of all time. He's one of my favorite basketball players to watch purely from that standpoint, but he is an off-the-court headache. And the Nets have now washed their hands of the headache, or they unloaded him onto the Dallas Mavericks this weekend. The Nets, addition by subtraction, you get my good weekend.
It was not all good this weekend. There was some bad.
Something bad.
I want to tell you guys a story. So today is actually the 20-year anniversary of 50 Cent's debut album, Get Rich or Die Trying. And I was at a high school basketball game this weekend, a very entertaining matchup between Oak Park and Park Hill. And as I'm sitting there, Rob, they start playing 21 questions, you know, in between quarters. And I'm kind of singing the song to myself, you know, it's the song I grew up listening to. Well, as you would imagine, you know, there's a lot of high school kids there. There's a high school kid right next to me, and he is singing the words to the song like I am. And it was like the words of my uncle flew, like, started to flow through my veins. And I looked at this young kid, and I said, "What you know about this song?" And this young boy looked at me, Rob, and said, "I wasn't even alive when this song came out. I love old school music." And at that moment, I was ready to fight that kid. Legitimately at a high school basketball game, ready to fight a high schooler for saying that he loved old school music when he was talking about 50 Cent. Are we old? Because at that moment, I felt old. Number one, I felt old by what I said. "Hey, what do you know about this song?" I felt old saying this to the young boy. And then when he told me that he loved old school music, is this how I used to be when I was a kid? And my mom used to want to play LL Cool J, and I told her, "I don't want to say old people music. Is 50 Cent now old people music?" I had never thought about it until this weekend. So I'm giving the bad weekend to myself, because this brought me down. I didn't go to this game to hear this. I went there to see a fine basketball exhibition, and I left feeling bad about myself. So I'm giving my bad weekend to me. I'm giving it to that kid for calling me old.
I'm going to give my bad weekend to the Kansas Jayhawks. Now, the good news is the Super Bowl week. So I don't have to talk about this for very long. But they went up to Lames, Iowa, and they got smoked. They got the beats at the hands of the Cyclones. Just humiliated. KU is basically a one-man team right now. It's Jalen Wilson and no one else.
There's not enough talent on KU's basketball team, is what you're trying to tell me? That's what you're trying to tell me. There's not enough talent on KU's basketball team. The team that won the national championship last year. That's what you're trying to tell me, that there's not enough talent on the Kansas Jayhawks basketball team. Okay, all right, I didn't know. I mean, I've seen them play before, and they seem very talented to me, but you know, that's not my team. I don't follow them. We're very happy right now to head to the phone lines to be joined by our next guest. He is the first black quarterback to play in and win a Super Bowl. Doug Williams joins us on the show today. Doug, it's an honor to have you today.
Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
What kind of memories has this week brought together? I'm sure you're getting asked to do a lot of media. You're getting asked a lot of questions about your Super Bowl experience. What has this week been like for you so far?
It's been a great week. You know, I'll give you a chance to reminisce on guys that played before me, the Marlon Briscoe, the James Harris, but also a chance to think about, you know, when I played in the Super Bowl, being the first black quarterback to play there. And you know, you got to think about why it took so long for all this to happen, you know. And look at it now, 35 years from the time I played in it. And we just still talking about the black quarterback, which, you know, we had to deal with this a long time ago when the league first started, allowed guys that deserved. There's a lot of guys that didn't play in this league that deserved to play. And maybe I wouldn't have been the first black quarterback to play in the Super Bowl. And these two guys might not have been the first two to play against each other. But it didn't happen. So we're here. You know, and it's history for these two to be playing against each other in the Super Bowl.
I never hear this talked about a whole lot, but you were the first to do this. You were the first to play in a Super Bowl and win a Super Bowl. Who were the quarterbacks that you looked up to? Because there just weren't a whole lot when you were coming up.
I think you hit the nail on the head. It was not a whole lot of black quarterbacks that had played. So, you know, guys like Roman Gaver and Joe Namath and James Harris, it was my guys, you know, because that's what they had. But they had guys that played this game in college that deserved an opportunity that didn't get it, that didn't give you a chance to pull for any of them guys. James Harris was the only guy, you know, being from Grambling and being drafted to Buffalo back in '69 is the only guy that I had to look up to.
Right now, we're talking to Doug Williams. He was the first black quarterback to play in and win a Super Bowl. This is the first Super Bowl with two African-American quarterbacks going ahead or going head-to-head against each other. Doug, what were some of the challenges that you faced when trying to prove that you can play the position?
Well, you know what? You know, I think Coach Robinson answered somebody back then that asked him, you know, what is it going to take for Doug Williams to make it a play in the NFL? And his answer to them was opportunity. And basically, that's how I've always looked at it. It was just a matter of giving an individual an opportunity to get it done. And I got that opportunity, and hopefully I played to the best of my ability. It might not have been to a lot of other people, but I played the way I saw it. You know, I didn't play for stats. I played to win. And that was my whole objective, was to be a team player.
A whole lot of people in your position were asked to switch positions. Was that ever a serious consideration for you?
No, I've never been asked that question, never thought about that. And I didn't think I could play defensive back, a linebacker, a tight end, a wide receiver. So I never even thought about that.
What do you think it was that Joe Gibbs saw in you that gave you the opportunity eventually to play quarterback at that level?
Well, you know, that's a great question. I wish I knew. Because you're talking about a guy who won three Super Bowls with three different quarterbacks. I think Coach Gibbs had the eye for what it takes to get that position done. But, you know, I think Coach Gibbs came down to Grambling, and it's all about character. You know, you talk to him, that's the first thing he'll tell you is character. And he had an opportunity to sit with me and talk about football. And we talked to went over the offense that we was running at Grambling, and he wanted to know about it. And I basically taught him the offense that we ran at Grambling. And he just wanted to know from a football standpoint what kind of individual we'd be getting.
Right now we're talking to Doug Williams about the Super Bowl here. He won the Super Bowl with Washington, the first black quarterback to win the Super Bowl. How much of your challenges when you are trying to make the NFL do you think came from you going to an HBCU? You know, you didn't go to Alabama or Notre Dame or Oklahoma, one of those major schools. So you're not only fighting it with the stereotype about your position, you're also fighting it with the school that you chose to go to.
Well, I thought my situation was a little different. You remember, I was a first-round pick. So it wasn't like I was a free agent or a late-round pick that, you know, if you don't make it, so what? You know, I was one of those situations where first-round pick, you almost got to make it. So, and I had John McKay on my side. John McKay coached at SC. He had played with Jimmy Jones in 1968 out of SC. So the black quarterback wasn't a big thing to John McKay. It was about the player more than anything.
How important was it to have somebody like that in your corner?
Oh, that was great. I mean, you know, coming out of high school, and I knew it wasn't going to happen, but it was only two coaches that I wanted to play for, and John McKay was one of them. The other one was Eddie Robinson. And I was lucky, and I got a chance to play for Eddie Robinson and then John McKay.
I was listening to an interview you did with TMZ about this topic and being, you know, the first black quarterback to play in the Super Bowl and win the Super Bowl, and you talked about how emotional you got. What about this makes you so emotional to see Patrick Mahomes go up against Jalen Hurts?
Well, you know what? I grew up doing the civil rights issue. And, you know, it's hard to imagine if you're not a black man or a woman to understand what that was like growing up during that time and what your people had to go through. And, you know, I liken all that to the same situation on Sunday, sitting there watching Patrick. You know, Jalen had already won the game, but to sit there watching Patrick, and he was able to pull it off and realize, you know, history is going to be set, and there's two black men. You know, I wish we didn't have to look at it from that standpoint, but, I mean, it is what it is, and you got to deal with it. And I sat there and got a little emotion. I'm glad I was downstairs by myself. I didn't – tears wasn't running down my face, but, you know, tears went through, and the water was in my eyes because I was happy to see that happen. You know, no matter what two black quarterbacks it was Patrick and it's Jalen. So I was happy for them, but I was also happy for myself and all the guys who had not gotten the opportunity to play on that level.
How proud are you of the progress that's being made in the NFL as a whole? Because just as someone that grew up liking football, I was told that a player like Jalen Hurts, that style of football would never work at this level, that you would have to change the way that you play the quarterback position. And we've certainly seen an evolution in the styles of offenses there are in the National Football League and just the mindset around having that kind of quarterback. How happy are you? How pleased are you with the evolution of the position that we've seen over the last 20, 30 years or so?
Well, you know, you got to look at Jalen and see what you got, number one. You know, now 2 years, his first 2 years at Alabama, you probably can call him a running quarterback. But the kid was, right now he's 16-1. And it wasn't because of his running ability. I mean, he was reading defense and throwing the ball down the field. Now, you say what you want from that standpoint. The kid is a pocket passer who just happened to have the ability to run if he has to or whatever run that is called. You know, so you got to look at it as he's a guy that gives most defensive coordinators a hissy fit because you can't stand back there and play two-man all the time. Because if you turn your back on him, he might be running up your heel. So that's the ability that he has. But at the same time, if you play regular coverage on him, he got two receivers and tight end that he can get the job done from the pocket. So Jalen is a all-around quarterback that has the ability to run better than most quarterbacks in this league have.
A lot of times we hear from players like Patrick Mahomes, like Jalen Hurts, that they want to pay tribute to players that open the door. You're one of those players that opened the door. How cool is it to hear someone like Patrick Mahomes, someone like Jalen Hurts, understand and appreciate all the sacrifices people like you made so they could play quarterback in the National Football League?
Well, I think thanks to their parents more than anything and the history that has been made, written, or what have you, that they get a chance to read and they realize that, you know, I'm a black quarterback like me. You know, I appreciate the fact that I know James Harris person, that I know Marlon Briscoe person, Bessie Stowe. You know, I know Jimmy Ray. I know David Mays and John Walton and all those guys who did not get a fair shake. You know, when I'm playing, that's just like when I walked off that field in the Super Bowl, I had all those guys in my mind, you know, because I was on their shoulders. And you know, they gave me an opportunity to do what I did because whatever chance that they had before me, it still opened the door for me at that particular time.
So Super Bowl Sunday, where do you plan on being?
Oh, I'll be in Phoenix. I'll be in Phoenix.
Our game predictions are brought to you by AG Power, John Deere, and Papa Murphy's. I got to ask you, Doug, on Super Bowl Sunday, who you got, the Chiefs or the Eagles?
I can't lose.
That is Doug Williams joining us on the show today. He was the first black quarterback to play in and win the Super Bowl. This is the first Super Bowl with two black quarterbacks going head-to-head. Doug, it's an honor to have you join us today. Thanks a bunch.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. That's Doug Williams joining us on the show today. Really cool to get a chance to catch up with him. He was the first black quarterback to play in and win a Super Bowl. Keep it right here. You're listening to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app.
This is The Drive with Carrington Harrison, brought to you by the D. Pasquale Moore Law Firm. Remember, Mike's got this. If you missed any of the show, catch up on the Odyssey app or at 610sports.com.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously. But shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear.
We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
From downtown Kansas City, it's The Drive on 610 Sports Radio.
Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll talk about Brandon Ayuk. He plays wide receiver for the San Francisco 49ers, and he and I share an opinion about the Philadelphia defense. We'll get to that here coming up in just a bit. I know that a lot of you are going to place a wager on the Kansas City Chiefs to win the Super Bowl. I'm going to give you a little bit of a tip here, Rob, and I'm curious if you agree. So right now, Jalen Hurts is the favorite to win Super Bowl MVP, which makes sense. The Eagles are a slight favorite in the game. But follow me on this, Rob. If you're betting on the Chiefs to win, you would get much better odds betting on Patrick Mahomes to win Super Bowl MVP than just betting on the Chiefs to win. What scenario do we see the Chiefs winning the Super Bowl and their quarterback doesn't win Super Bowl MVP? Now, we don't got to go into all the math of it, but just follow me. Right now, you can get Patrick Mahomes at plus 125 to win Super Bowl MVP. Rob, there's only three players on the team that can win the award, and Mahomes is the overwhelming favorite on the team. The only three people on the Chiefs that can win Super Bowl MVP are Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, and Chris Jones. Now, maybe there's some scenario in which Trent McDuffie gets two interceptions and a pick six. Okay, sure. If you lose your bet in that situation, you know what? None of that matters because the Kansas City Chiefs won the Super Bowl and we'll be getting ready for a championship parade next Wednesday. But am I off on this? Instead of just betting the Chiefs right now on the point spread, isn't it better to just bet Patrick Mahomes? You'll get much better odds. You'll get much more bang for your buck. And I just don't really see a scenario, because let's say that Kelce even has seven catches for 83 yards and two touchdowns. A really good day. That's not enough for him to win MVP of the Super Bowl. What would Chris Jones have to do to win NFL Super Bowl MVP? What would he have to do? Three sacks? Five tackle for losses? An interception? Like, what would Chris Jones have to do to win Super Bowl MVP? If the Chiefs are going to win it, they're going to win it because Patrick Mahomes is the best player on the field here. I think you get much better odds, much more bang for your buck. If you're betting on the Chiefs to win this game on the FanDuel app, you're getting much better odds to just bet Patrick Mahomes at plus 125 than getting the Chiefs to win the game outright at plus 110.
I'm sitting back here trying to think of a scenario where Chris Jones wins MVP, because he was as dominant as you can physically be for a defensive tackle in the game against the Bengals last Sunday. He was as, or I guess two Sundays ago now. He was as good as you can be. I know they don't give out MVPs for AFC championship games, but did anyone think to themselves, you know, Chris Jones is the MVP of the game? If it works out the exact same way in the Super Bowl, you know what the storyline is? Patrick Mahomes guts it out and gets a win. We have reached a point now, and I'm definitely part of the problem, where if you don't play quarterback, your odds to an MVP of an individual game or an individual season are basically scarce. Chris Jones would have to do Aaron Donald plus stuff from last year, because Aaron Donald was sensational last year and didn't win it. Cooper Kupp did. I literally am back here imagining a scenario where he wins MVP, and I cannot picture one that's feasible.
Yeah, I thought last year Aaron Donald should have won Super Bowl MVP.
But he was that dominant and didn't. So
yeah,
just imagine what
I mean,
to do.
I get why Cooper Kupp won the award. But yeah, I would have voted for Aaron Donald. But also, I mean, Matthew Stafford ain't Patrick Mahomes either. You know what I mean? And, I mean, that was really the culmination of an all-time incredible year by Cooper Kupp as well, where he had maybe the best wide receiver season that we had ever seen. So if you're somebody that plans on putting a little bit of bucks on the game for Sunday,
I just would take Patrick Mahomes plus 125 to win MVP. I would take that over the Chiefs winning the game, because if the Chiefs win the game, then that means Patrick Mahomes wins NFL or Super Bowl MVP, and you might as well just go ahead and get yourself the little extra cash in your pocket anyway. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll play for you what Brandon Ayuk had to say. He plays wide receiver for the Niners. The Niners just got eliminated by the Eagles. You will want to hear what he has to say about the Eagles' defense. I got a question, and I know I'm not the only one that thinks this way, that feels this way. Why have they ruined Super Bowl commercials? Now, I have never been the, I'm just watching it for the commercials. I mean, I don't mind the commercials, but obviously I'm watching it for the game. But the commercials are fun, you know? You're seeing these things for the first time. There's a couple movie trailers that you've never seen before. They make you laugh. You know, you see some new products. I get it. These companies, I just saw, they're spending $7 million for a Super Bowl ad. Why are we spoiling them? Why do I already know that Doritos has a Clueless commercial with Alicia Silverstone already playing? Why do I know that they're doing a Breaking Bad commercial? Why do I know all of this? Why have they decided to take the surprise out of the Super Bowl commercials? I don't want to know nothing. I want to go into the game and sit down and lock myself in for those 3.5-4 hours and be amazed, be thrilled by anything that I see. Rob, why are they spoiling the commercials? I mean, it wouldn't have hit the same back in the day if we had seen the Wise Up, if we had seen that 2 weeks before the Super Bowl, or the Budweiser Frogs, or Terry Tate office linebacker. Why have the people that spend all of these monies to make these commercials and put these commercials on the air, why do they leak them on YouTube or spoil them a week before? It doesn't make any sense.
I saw earlier this morning, a ranking of someone's definitive top five Super Bowl commercials for the upcoming game. How does that list exist? How do we have an idea to the point where we know it's going to be set and then we can finally break down? That should not be the way it was. And I don't understand why companies do it either, if I'm being real honest with you. Now, I'm not some marketing guru. I'm not some advertising genius. I do this for a living. But I figure if I'm spending $5, $6, $7 million to advertise at the Super Bowl, I don't want my ad coming out on YouTube on February 6th. So then everyone knows what it is by February 7th. I want people to see my ad for the first time on the Super Bowl. It makes no sense to me. Now, I'm probably more of a commercial guy than you are. I have always enjoyed the commercials.
I don't mind them.
I mean, I have sat down and been like, I liked that one. I hate that one. I got a little more in-depth and nerdy with it, but those days are dead and gone, man. Now, I think it was going to be dead and gone with the Chiefs in it because my interest in the commercials is now, hey, this is on while I go to the bathroom at a sports bar. But just generally speaking, the fact that I know Tuco is the surprise guest in a Breaking Bad one, come on.
I can't believe that. When I saw, because I was scrolling through the internet today, and then I saw the commercial. I'm like, why are we seeing this? This would have been really cool to see in real time, but no, we haven't seen it. Why have they not done a better job of telling us who's singing the national anthem? Did you know who is singing the national anthem? I had to Google it to find out.
It's a country star, right?
Chris Stapleton.
Exactly.
I saw Chris Stapleton yesterday. He was performing with Stevie Wonder during the Grammys. Now, I'm not going to lie to you. I didn't really know much about Chris Stapleton, but I enjoyed seeing him perform yesterday at the Grammys. I'm thrilled about Chris Stapleton. Hopefully he underperforms.
Oh! I don't know.
Or he could over deliver. Mm-hmm. You see what I did there? You didn't pick up what I put down there.
That was sneaky. Did Shaq yesterday tell you his story about how Stevie Wonder can see? Because every time Stevie Wonder's on national TV, my Twitter timeline fills up with the truthers explaining how he can actually see.
A lot of people think that Stevie can see.
Shaq's the most prominent one. Shaq tells the story about how he was sitting courtside and Stevie's like, "Hey, what's up, man? You're looking good in the post." What?
Do you need to see Shaq to know that he did good in the post? All someone needs to tell you is how Shaq did. Hey, Shaq had 45 points, 19 rebounds, and 3 blocks. Did you need to see that to tell Shaq that you know he was balling in the game? See, I'm going to shoot Stevie a little bit of bail here.
Shaq also tells the story that he walked into his building and walked past Stevie, didn't say anything, and Stevie's like, "What's up, Shaq? Explain that one to me."
That's a good one. Maybe Shaq has a certain scent. Maybe Shaq has a certain aroma about him. Maybe. I don't know. I've never been around Shaq before. Never had the privilege of meeting the man. Maybe that's what happened.
It's Bob. All I know is, you know how I know Stevie Wonder was performing last night? I got on Twitter.com, and the top 10 tweets were, "This dude can see."
Coming up on the other side, we'll play for you what Brandon Ayuk had to say. He plays wide receiver for the San Francisco 49ers. He said what I think a lot of people feel about the Eagles' defense. That's all coming up. Keep it right here. It's The Drive on 610 Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.